I want to cover two Rambans tonight. The first Ramban is Bracious Yutes, Pasuk Hey. The Ramban wants to analyze the parsha of the destruction of stone. You'll recall the story. Two guests come into Lot's house. The word gets out, and the people of stone want to storm the gates. And what is their, according to the Pshuto Shel Mikra, what is their goal? The Pasuk says, I'll read it to you. Aye anashim asher bo eilecha alayla hotziyem eilenu v'neida osam. On a straightforward level, it means perversion. The Ramban is unwilling to accept that. He prefers some sort of deliberate, sinful act. It's not just perversion. This Ramban raises a number of questions. First of all, the Ramban wants to know, according to Gemara Sanhedrin, since stone was guilty of many other sins, which sin actually did them under? The final verdict to destroy stone, as the Ramban will develop it, based on a pasuk in Yechezkel, Yad Ani V'Evyon Lo Echzika. Stone was a society that was built on cruelty. The concept of Hachnosas Archim is antithetical to stone. But the Ramban asks, since they were guilty of so many other sins, as we'll see, why was the final verdict clinched as a result of this particular sin of greed, of not caring for a poor person, not inviting guests, and so forth?
I thought you just said that it was perversion that was the
Ramban said. No, the Ramban refuses to accept the pasuk as you might read it superficially. Okay? Says the Ramban, what was their intention when it says V'neda Osam? Apparently, the Ramban assumes it could not have been some sort of sexual perversion, because the way that they went about breaking down the walls and the doors in their plan, there must have been something else that was moving them, the Anshei Stone. Says Ramban, Kavanosam, their ultimate goal was not lust, was not just sexual perversion, but lechalos es haregel b'neim. Mi b'neim. This is based on the Gemara that tells us that Anshei Sdom did not want any travelers, any visitors, to come into Sdom. They would find it too comfortable in stone. As we'll see, stone was a very wealthy society. They didn't want to share their wealth. They wanted to hoard it for themselves. So what was their plan? What was their program? How do they discourage people coming, aliens, coming from outside of stone to settle in stone? Given the fact that stone was so attractive, so wealthy, so beautiful. They would... What do you say, Jeff?
No, I think they have all the different...
Oh, that's Joe, I'm sorry. Yeah. Right. And that's exactly what they're interested in here. The acts of perversion against these aliens coming in from the outside was another piece of their program to make it, how should I say, despicable, to make it repulsive for anyone to want to go in there. This was their way of sending the message: it's not worth it for you to join us in stone. So again, the Ramban sees, hi Robbie, sees something absolutely different than what we see in the Pasuk. Kidivrei Rabboseinu, he refers here to a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuftes. Lama lanu ovrei drachim. We don't want these passers-by. They're going to take away our possessions. They're going to deplete the economy. The wealth will be spread, and we Stomites will be left with less than the full piece of the pot, because we're going to have to divvy it up with others. We got to discourage people from coming into Stone. Says Ramban, ki choshvu shebavur tovas artzom, the beauty of their land, the bounty of their land, would allure people. And here the Ramban refers to a pasuk earlier in this parasha. Shehi ki gan Hashem. The Torah compares stone to a gan Hashem. You'll remember that's what attracted Lot after he separated from Avram to settle in stone. Therefore, Choshvu, Yavo Sham Rabin, the multitudes are going to immigrate into stone. Vehem and the Stomites, Hayu Moasei Hatzdaka. Sharing of their wealth was despicable, was antithetical to their very essence. You know, it reminds me, I don't know if this, by association, you have the same bells go off, of rich countries in the 20th century that closed their gates. And even today, so many wealthy countries in the West make it so difficult for outsiders to come in. Try settling today in Switzerland. It's a complicated procedure. The Ramban asks himself, so how did Lot get in there? He wasn't one of the local yokels. So he gives a couple of answers. Now, the Lot, be Ashro, he had a lot of wealth, which he got from his uncle, be Mamono, Barley, and they let him in. Hey, he's a wealthy guy. Let's take him in. There are all sorts of reasons why the motherland will take in aliens. Oshabikesh men Rishus. I mean, these two guys who came in to see Lot, they didn't get any, there was no green card for them. They had no visa. But Lot had a visa. Oh, Shekiblu lechvod Avram. After all, Avram is going to fight the battle against the kings. So Stone has respect for Avram and for his nephew. Vakosuv meid shezos kavanosam. The pasuk itself testifies that the central and most despicable sin of stone, and we'll soon see that there were many other sins that they were guilty of, was the sin of evil against those who are needy. Shenemar. And he quotes a long pasuk in Yechezkel, which you don't have in front of you, so I'll just read the punchline of the pasuk. V'yad ani v'evyon lo echzika. Strange. The sinfulness of stone, clearly, and the reason why they're punished so severely, is because they don't give of their wherewithal, their bounty, and share it with those who are in need. Umasha Nemar. What it says there, earlier in Sefer Bereishis, Royim v'chatoim l'Hashem ma'od. It sounds like it's Bein Adam l'makom. Shayu mach'isim. They angered Almighty God. Umardim. And they rebelled. Bishalvasam. How would you translate the word shalva? Peace. You know, they were very tranquil and laid back about it. They did it with a smile on their face, so to speak. Out of pure evil. Ube'inui havyonim. And they persecuted the poor. That's called Toeva Lefanai in Yechezkel. The Bein Adam Lechavero, ultimately, when it's really rotten to the core, when it goes beyond, exceeds beyond all bounds, becomes Bein Adam Lamakom. So it's so interesting. We call this a Chet B'midos. But yet, it becomes a Chet of Merida, of rebellion against Almighty God. Once it breaks all proportions.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
How does the Ramban explain Lot's attempt at pacifying them with his daughters?
Well, Lot was desperate. The Ramban is going to discuss this later. Maybe we'll get a chance to see it. And he thought maybe this would work. I just want to finish up this Ramban. The Aldas Rabbo Seinu, again referring back to Sanhedrin, the Gemara on Daf Kuf Tes, Hayu Bahem Kol Midos Ros. They were guilty of many sins, not just Yad Ani Ve'evyon Lo Chzika. Avol Nigmar Dinam Al Oso Avon. The final Gmar Din, the verdict, was handed down with Neshloch Ziku Yad Ani Ve'evyon. Why? If they were guilty of such serious sins, severe sins like Gili Arayis and Shvichas Domim, certainly they were idol worshippers, Yad Evyon Loch Zika. What's going on? Says the Ramban, Ki hayu tedirim bioso avon yoser mikulo. Fantastic chiddush of the Ramban. How would you weigh a few severe violations on one side of the scale and many less severe violations, but many of them on the other side of the scale? Which is worse? Says the Ramban, to repeat a lesser violation time after time, the Tedirus, is worse than falling prey to the Yetzirah, even on more severe averus. It reminds me of the Ran in the last perek of Yuma, raises the question, what do you do for a chola on Yom Kippur? If you have two options, you could shecht an animal, shechita is a malacha, it's a chiv kares, but every bite that he eats, at least it'll be kosher meat. Or should we feed him treifa meat, which is only an Easter lav, but every slice of meat that he eats will be a violation of Allah. And if I remember correctly, the Ran's conclusion, Bereshech 1. So you'll be one violation that's very severe, rather than repetitive, lesser violations. I want to quote to you a piece in Rabbeinu Yonah from the Shar HaTshuva. For the Shari Tshuva. It's in the third Shar. Rabbi Yonah says, Amar Rabboseinu, Shakul Lashon Hara, Keneged Sholosh Averos. Avodah Zarah Gila Rai Shvichus Dom. Hine, Ani Tzarich Lefarish Lecha, Heichi Tachen, Kiyah Avon Lashon Hara. Now, we don't like Lashon Hara, or maybe we do, but how could it be equal to the three Averis Chamuros? So I thought of all sorts of answers to Rabbeinu Yonah's kash, but he has a very unique answer. He says, Ki Baal HaLashon Shoneh Bavlaso, Eser Pa'amin B'chol Yom. He repeats Lashon Hara constantly. Lo Yosem Kate, he says, Avera kalok veda ma'od al hishanus ha'avlus panim rabos. He says that an avera kala with a kuf, right? Not, we're not talking about the kala. Okay. The avera kala, he says, becomes kveda, becomes very heavy when you repeat it many times. A fascinating idea. Perhaps we can quote this Ramban about stone and the pasuk in Yechezkel, Yad Ani Ve'Evyon Lo Zika, as a proof to this text, to this chidush of Rabbeinu Yonah with regard to Lashon Hara. It's a scary kind of conclusion. Let's go on in the Ramban. He says, "V'gam ki kol ha'amim." He says, "What about the other nations? They weren't such tzaddikim, and yet God destroys only stone. Why?" He says, "Ki kol ha'amim, all other nations osim tzedakos im aniyehem." How do you translate aniyehem? They're locals, no? Aniyehem. So I'm very confused here, because according to the Ramban, the Yad Ani Ve'Evyon Lo Achzika was a program to discourage whom? The aliens, right? The foreigners. We want the land for ourselves and its bounty and its beauty and its wealth. So why couldn't they support their own aniyu? The Ramban says the other nations are not as bad as stone. They would support their aniyu. Stone wouldn't even support their own aniyu. Why? You want to keep away foreigners? But why do you have to be so cruel to your own local poor people? And I think the answer is partial but very profound. They made a gzera derabbanan. This is the gzera of stone. Not a Kosh Baruch Hu's gzera against stone. The stone got together at Beis Din and they decided we better be careful. If we start supporting our own local poor people, what's going to happen? What happens when you give tzedakah? What impact does it have on you? That's right, it makes you into a what? What kind of better person? A Rahman. The more you give, the more you love. Right, the famous Rav Eliyahu Dessler, that Ahava is Miloshen Hav, right? You give and you love. So the Stomites made a a gzera. Ralph, are you with me? They were afraid. If they start supporting their own local aniyim, what's going to happen? They're going to become rachmanim. Oh, that's not a good thing. Because once they become rachmanim, chas v'shalom, then they're going to start extending help and kindness to foreigners as well. So they made a gzera. But I tell you, I think the Ramban is even deeper than that. The Ramban is saying, I believe, that when you repeat cruelty time after time towards Yenom, the aliens, the foreigners, ultimately, you become a cruel person. That becomes your essence, your identity. You see, Yadus believes in tshuva. What underlies the whole concept of tshuva? That man and his sins are not equal one to the other. Yes, I sin. Chatasi, avisi, pashati. But those sins are extraneous, are foreign to me. That's why Bruria says, Yitamu chatoy min aretz. It doesn't say yitamu chotim min aretz. Don't pray for the death of sinners. Pray for what? The destruction and the removal of sin. That's because sinners and sin, call it a gavra and a cheft, if you will, are two different entities. The chet is extraneous to me. What happened to Sdom is that the chet of Sdom, specifically this chet of cruelty, became identified with their very being, with their very self. This identity between Sdom and Achzorius, in which cruelty is no longer on the outside, but it becomes part of the very essence of a person. This ultimately led HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe, to despair of Sdom. They would never do tshuva. Tshuva is only possible as long as sin is kind of like dirt on the outside of your body, so you can wash it off. But when your very essence becomes identified with sin because of the Tadirus, to such an extent that you can't even lend a helping hand to your own locals. Ribbono Shel'olam, your own locals. What do you lose by that? You're afraid of the others coming in. But you're already, the Achzorius is part of your very essence. But let me ask you a question. Again, you don't have the Ramban in front of you, so it's kind of unfair to ask this question. But why was Sdom wiped off the face of the earth? So you'll tell me, because they violated various Averis Chamurus, and the Avera of cruelty time after time after time. For the Ramban, that's not enough. There's another piece of the puzzle. And this is why I wanted to learn the Ramban with you tonight. Because I am absolutely flabbergasted by the Ramban's answer to the question, why was Sdom wiped off the earth? Do you know what the answer is going to be? Hey, look guys, you know, I'm no longer with Torah Mitzion, but you still should know the answer.
It would never change.
Says the Ramban, I see, Shimmy, you haven't been to Sdom lately.
I have it on my passport.
Oh boy. Says the Ramban, listen carefully, it's mind-boggling. Your hair is going to stand on end. Of course, if you saw the Ramban, it would be... He says, Vida, you should know, says the Ramban. Ki Mishpat Sdom, the final verdict against Sdom, Hayo Lamalas Eretz Yisrael. There was... The Ramban is saying like this, any land on the face of the earth, with the exception of one, could tolerate sin, even in this form of despicable sin. The earth is tolerant, because Hashem turned to the earth to create man. So he must have been tolerant. But there's one land on the face of the earth, says Ramban. It's very scary. That's not tolerant of sin. V'saki aretz osam. The land of Israel will vomit forth its sinners. Had Stone been located in Uganda, we would still have Stone today. But Stone is not in Uganda. Stone is right past Ein Gedi. My family loves Ein Gedi, so Stone is good for the hotels today, but he says, Ki Mishpat Stone Ayolamailas Eretz Yisrael. Ki he, because Stone, Michwal Nachlas Hashem. It's part of the Nachl of God. Viena Soveles Toeva, Anche Toevos. The Kasha Toki Esagoi Kulo Mipnei Toavosov. Who else is going to be vomited from Eretz Yisrael? All the Knanim, right? Seven subcultures of Knan. And why? Rashi talks about at the beginning of Chumash, the land can't tolerate sinners of that level of Toeva. Says Ramban, how much more so the intolerable people of Stone can't tolerate them. The earth can't tolerate them, the earth of Eretz Yisrael. Hikdima the Kasas Amazeh, before they would vomit forth the nation of Canaan, this nation of Stone, this people of Stone, would be vomited forth. And skipping a little bit, the Ramban says, Ki yesh b'umos royim v'chatoim yod, v'lo asamem kocha. There are many other nations on the earth that are evil, and yet God did not destroy them. Why did He destroy Stone? And it's not just enough to say Avzorius. Avol amaylas ha'aretz hazos hayakol. Everything that took place is because of the Mila of Eretz Yisrael. I just want to point out one thing before we go on to the next Ramban. I think the Rambam disagrees with Ramban. Why do I say so? The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva quotes the Parsha of Stone to prove his thesis about judgment. He says the following. Medina means a city. Shavanosea merubim, on the scale, the avonos outweigh the zachios. Miyad hi ovedes. It will be immediately destroyed. I have 1,000 kashas to ask on the Rambam. But that's what the Rambam says. Shen nemar. How does Rambam know this? Zaka Stone v'Amora ki Rab. From our parsha of Stone. What's the kasha that you should ask? According to the Ramban, the Rambam has not proved his point. Why? It's a special halach in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam derives from Stone a universal principle that applies to Kol Medina, no matter where it is on the face of the earth. So I submit to you a machlokas between the Rambam on the one hand and the Ramban on the other. The Rambam's answer to the question of why Stone was wiped off the face of the earth is sin, avonos. For the Ramban, that's not enough. There were plenty of other nations that were guilty of many sins. But they were all in chutz l'aretz. Except for Stone and the Canaanites, who will be vomited forth a little bit later in Jewish history. Good? Any questions before we go on? David?
So
Right.
Despite the fact that it was an evil and terrible place, and it was the minus Eretz Yisrael, he would have been prepared to preserve it for the second ten tzaddikim. Seems to contradict that, doesn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, David, what's the significance of the number 10, of course, without even thinking twice?
Well, it's an eight that represents...
Correct. The so what happens is... that if you have one Ada within another Ada, you can no longer identify it by one identity. It becomes a dual identity. Why didn't Avraham Avinu drop down below the number 10? So there's a strange chazal about Noach was only 8, because he and his three children, his three sons, plus their wives, is 8, and Hashem didn't spare the land. But that's very strange. Because from 8 to 10 is still a leap. Avram could have gone down to 9. All right, it's complicated. Could be he was divided into cities, and you have to learn that well. Now I want to go back to the first Ramban in Parshas Vayera. Couple of questions for you, an introduction. Hashem appears to Avram. What happens? What transpires? What's the essence or the goal of Vayera Elav Hashem? Maybe Bikur Cholin? All this will be okay, except according to the Rambam. And here the Ramban is going to lash out against the Rambam. Why is it that every time we meet, it seems like the Ramban is disagreeing with the Rambam? You should know the Ramban had tremendous admiration for the Rambam. But emes is emes. So guess what? If you don't know this, it'll come as a little bit of a shock. And I don't want anyone here drawing any mistaken conclusions. But according to the Rambam, none of this actually happened. The whole story of three wayfarers coming by, they ate basar and cholov, and Avraham accepted them, and blah, blah, blah. They told him about Sarah, she's going to have a child. Never happened. Why? What moves the Rambam to deny that this ever happened in real life? It only existed in virtual reality? Rashi says, at the very beginning of the parsha, V'hinei shlosha nashim, who are these three people, says Rashi? Malachim shebo elav bidmus anoshim. They were angels. Weren't they eating? Ah, I know. They were eating angel food, right? So Rashi says, Vayochlu nire kimisha ochlu. The whole thing was a facade. It's like I remember when I was a kid and my mother, may stress, used to want to feed me something. I didn't want it. You know what I mean? We had a way of throwing it out, you know, but it looked like we were eating it, you know. The whole thing never took place, Rashi. They never ate anything. Because Rashi couldn't have accepted that they ate anything. Because they were malachim. Malachim don't eat anything. Well, maybe there is something that they eat. It's called man. But there was no man on Avram's table. So nira kilu ochlin. But the main point is that who are these three so-called wayfarers, travelers, who are they? They were malach. Anybody here in the room see a malach lately? I know, my wife is like a malach. I see her very frequently on Skype. Anyway. Can you see a Malach on Skype? I don't know. The Rambam holds that we don't see Malachim. And we don't hear Malachim. That's the Rambam Shita. But I don't get it. Avram sees Malachim. Lot is going to see Malachim. Remember the two guys that come into Lot? Hagar sees a Malach. Bilam sees a Malach. Together with his ass. I mean his donkey. Right? So I mean, you know, the Torah does tell us that we see Malachim. The Rambam says impossible. You can't see a Malach. Yaakov is fighting with a Malach, is he not? Vayisavik ish imo. Say Chazal is a Malach. Sarah Shalisa. Says the Rambam name. There was no battle. There was no wrestling match between Yaakov and a Malach. You can't fight a Malach. So what's it all about? Hello, anybody home?
We're here.
No. So what are all these parshiyos? Anybody?
Dream.
The dreams. The whole thing is a dream. Now, shtel zechfar, as we say. Avraham Avinu is dreaming. Right? And in his dream, three malachim appear to him. And what happens? He feeds them. And they tell Avram that his wife is going to have a baby. And Sarah listens, and she's also in the dream apparently, and she laughs. And they say, why is she laughing? And the Torah details every single prat in this Hachnosis Archim, detail after detail. You can almost smell the meat and the milk and the cheese on the table. But my friends, it's all in a dream. We used to say, la vida es un sueño. I don't know if you know any Spanish. Okay. So, life is but a dream, right? So the whole thing is a dream. And Lot, he couldn't have seen two malachim. So he was dreaming. And the members of Sodom couldn't have possibly stormed the gates in real life because the whole thing was a dream. No, they couldn't have told Lot to get the heck out of there because it was all in a dream. They couldn't have grabbed him by the arms, as the Pasuk testifies, rip him out of Sodom because it was all in a dream. So where is Lot at the end of this dream? He's back in Sodom, I guess. Yaakov Avinu didn't fight with a Malach. It was all in a dream. He wakes up and what happens? There's a hinkadinka. Anybody know who Yiddish here? He limps. The guy limps. Rebbeinu Shalom, why is he limping? The whole thing was a dream. Do you hear me, Rabbosai? It's very hard. We're like 1,000 miles away, and I don't know if you hear me. It's mind-boggling. Yaakov is limping. Hagar has a child who's dying of thirst, and she's dreaming of a Malach. She wakes up and everything's fine. I mean, what happened in the meantime? Something's missing here, no?
Why does the Rambam hold the way he does?
Because the Rambam thinks you cannot see a Malach. The human eye, the human sense perception, the power of hearing or sight, could not link up to Malachim. Malachim live and exist in a different realm. Not in the physical realm, not in the tangible realm of the senses. There's no relationship between sense perception and a Malach.
He holds the same relationship with regards to the stories in the Gemara as well, with being shaded.
Yeah.
What, the Shadim in Gemara's you talk about?
Yeah, they really hold the same thing.
You mean the Shadim exist or not exist?
Yeah.
So for that, Joe, you have to read the introduction to Ein Yaakov of Rabbeinu Avram ben Aramba, where he presents his father's Shita about all this spooky stuff. Obviously, the Rambam's not going to be too excited about Shadim. That I can promise you. So, Rabbeinu Shalom, what is going on here? The Rambam is very difficult. So, the Ramban, B'Sefer HaMora, Ne'amar, it says, the rabbi says in the Mor Nevuchim, Ki HaParsha Klal Uprat. What's Klal Uprat? Omar HaKosim B'Tchila, Ki Nira Elov Hashem B'Maros HaNevuah. The Torah opens up and says that God appeared to Avram in a vision of prophecy. And then Prat. What's the Prat? Eichos HaMarazos. So what was in the prophecy? Ki nosa eino b'marav, hinei shlosh ha'noshim nitzovim eilo, olof. Vayomer, imno matzosi chen b'einecha. Zeh sipur, this entire story, masha omar b'mare ha'nevua, li echad mihem ha'godol shalem, shebaem. So the Rambam says that everything that happened here happens within a prophetic vision. Says Ramban, V'im b'mara lo nira elav, rak anoshim ochlim basar. If this whole thing of a mara is nothing more than these wayfarers who come to eat meat, eich omar v'yera lov Hashem. What do you mean by Yeru Lev Hashem? Hashem didn't appear to Avram. The Anoshim appear to Avram. Hine lo nira lo Hashem lo b'mar v'lo machshava. V'kocha lo nimtza v'chol ha'nevuos. Frankly, I have my problems with the Rambam, but I don't understand the Ramban's kasha. The Ramban is saying, where was Vayera of Hashem? What was the substance or the content of Hashem appearing to Avram? I don't know what he wants from the Rambam. The Torah itself tells us that Hashem told Avram whatever he told him. The Torah testifies that there was a dialogue between Hashem and Avram. I don't know what he's bothered by. And then he says, "V'kachalo nimtza b'chol anevuos." According to the Rambam, this is constant. This repeats itself over and over again. We have nevuos, in which the Navi experiences a vision or a dream, and many things happen in that dream. And that's what happens to Lot, and to Hagar, and to Bilam, and who knows how many people in Tanakh. Manoach. All these biblical characters who somehow communicate or hear a communication from a Malach, those are Nevuos. So this is not foreign. This is common. Vihine, here the Ramban gets really, he digs it in. He digs in his spikes. He says, Vihine Lidvarov, Lo Losha Sara Ugos. Sara didn't bake any cookies. I don't know about you, but I'm not crying. I mean, again, I would like to taste those cookies. I don't know if they're on South Beach, but it would be nice to taste them. But according to the Rambam, she didn't bake any cookies. So do me something. V'lo as Avram ben Bokar, v'gam lo tzocha kasara, rak hakol b'marem. V'im kein, bo hachalom hazeh, says the Ramban, b'rov inyan. Rov inyan means all these details, which, Koheles, Rav Shavel points to Koheles that this is a pasuk that describes dreams, and in dreams they are full of details, kechalomos hasheker, all sorts of meaningless details, kimat toeles le'iros lo kol zeh. Ah, Beautiful kasha of the Ramban. Who cares about these details? What difference does it make? Whether Avram offers them meat and Sarah offers them cookies? When Sarah laughs, so she doesn't laugh? It's all a vision. It's all a dream. It's insignificant details in a dream. So that we have to know, Vayera Lav Hashem, with all these details? I'll tell you the truth. I don't think it's so shver. According to the Rambam, every single detail is meant to teach us something. The Abarbanel says that the only reason Avraham Avinu was Zoche, he merited having a child at this age, a child who would carry on the legacy, is because of the mitzvah of Achnos Sarchim. Did the mitzvah of Achnos Sarchim actually take place? The answer is no. According to the Rambam, it was just in a dream. It was a vision. But every detail will supply us and Avraham Avinu with a message and a picture of what Achnos Sarchim is all about. Every detail in the dream is meant to convey a message. A message of faith, in the case of Sarah, who was a little bit tachaka, and Hashem knew that she was lacking in amuda here at this point. Later on, she goes to tikkun. That's not for us now. I think we spoke about it a year ago. But every detail is justified. Says the Ramban, V'chein Omar, the Rambam says, B'inyan v'yavek ish imo, meaning, Yaakov is wrestling with a malach, shakol mara hanavuah. It all happens in the figment of Avraham, of Yaakov's prophetic mind. V'lo yadati, and I don't understand, lama hayitzolea yirecho behekos. Why is Yaakov limping when he wakes up from this so-called dream? You see, because the Ramban is going to present the thesis that you can see a malach, again, only in circumscribed cases, and the malach appears to you in real life, and you can wrestle with a malach in real life, in real time, showtime. Vilama, yes, according to the Ramban. Omar, Yaakov declares, Kira, Isi Elokim, Panim El Panim, Vatinatz El Nafshi. Avram is having a dream. Yaakov is having a dream. And he's all afraid that maybe he's going to lose his life. His life will be forfeited because Ra'isi Elokim Panim El Panim. Doesn't make any sense. If it's only happening in a Nevuah, Hanavim lo yifachdu sheyamusu mipnei maris hanavuah, we don't find that a Navi is overwhelmed with fear of death as a result of his Nevuah. And not only that, ukfaro marek dola v'nichbenes mizos. Yaakov Avinu had previously experienced an even greater, more profound nevuah. If somebody wants to open up to Breishis Chavches Pasuk Yud Gimel, ki gam es Hashem anichbad ra pa'amim rabos b'mara nevuah. Yaakov Avinu perceived the revered divinity, the Shem anichbad. He wasn't afraid, unless he wrestled with a malach in real life. That is quite fearful. Behine lefi dato zos, according to the Rambam's view, yitztarech lomar kein binyin lot, ki lo bo malachim el beso, in real world, real time, there were no angels who came into the house of Lot. V'lo afal em matzos v'yochelu. Pasuk later on says he baked matzos for them. That didn't happen. Hakol hayu b'mara. V'im yale es Lot l'malas mara nevua. You know, says the Ramban, I'm not even sure that Lot was royal in nevua. According to the Rambam, Lot is having this prophetic experience. Who is Lot? It's not the greatest tzaddik in the world, Lot. But even if I grant you, says the Ramban, that Lot could have experienced nevuah, Ech yiu anoat she stom haroyim vachotim neviim. How do these two angels, how are they seen by the lowest of low, the people of stone, that they came forward to attack them? Yeah, what's the answer to the Rambam? That's right, it didn't happen. They never actually came in there. It's only a dream. Ki mi higid lahem, who told them, Shebo anoshim el beso. V'im akol b'maris hanavuah, shalot. So maybe you'll tell me that too is part of the prophecy. It didn't really happen. Then what's Vayaitzu ha-malachim? The malachim taken by hand and they remove him from stone. Kum kachas ishtecha. And they carry Ashes load along. They schlep them all out there. Vayomer, and they say, well, the Gadol Shemem says to note, Himoik al nafshecha. It's called Pashas Oskul b'mare. It never happened. Vishar lot b'stom. Lot is back in stone. Nay, Lot is not in stone. Lot wakes up from the dream. Everything that happened in the dream, all the messages that were communicated to him by the Malachim, made an impact on his soul. He didn't forget it. You know, sometimes you wake up, you don't remember your dreams. So Lot flew the coop. He got out of stone as soon as he could. Yeah. But the Ramban is not happy with that. The Pasuk says that who pulled Lot out of stone? These two Malachim. No, the Rambam is saying no. The pulling Lot out of stone was just a vision. In actuality, Lot himself ran out of stone. Aval Yachshov. The Ramban makes a last-ditch effort to reconstruct the Shitas of Rambam. Yachshov, the Rama must think, Shahoyu amasim nasim e'aleihem, v'amamorim b'chol dover dover, b'chol dibur dibur, mare. Oh. The Ramban rewrites the Rama. Again, all in order to defend the Rama. And he makes a distinction between dibur and masa. Dibur, a communication from Malach, could only happen where or how? In the Vua. But the Masa happens in real life. Whoa, get the picture here. We're in and out, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we hear a Maimar, a Dibur from a Malach, that's in the dream. Then we do an action, we step out of the dream. Then we go back into the dream. Understand what I'm saying? It's like really complicated.
It's not going to work. How does it work with the Anshei Stom in that situation? They're still not seen.
I think the Ramban is going to have to say that the Anshei Stom, according to the Rambam, that never happened. Right? Because whatever Lot knows, he knows, but that's not going to help the Anshei Stom. You know what I mean? They're not part of his vision. They're not privy to his nevuah. They're not going to storm the house. But Lot is going to step out of his dream, if I read the Ramban correctly, whenever he has to do an action. Okay. Now, yeah.
It seems odd that the first dream is Avram's dream, the second dream is Lot's dream. The same two people of the three appear in Avram's dream as in Lot's dream. It seems like they're sharing part of the dream.
So David, you know what? Why don't we suggest the following? That it's not Lot's dream, everything happens in Avram's dream. Yeah, but then the only problem is, how does Lot get himself out of stone? It gets really complicated. You know, I thought Freud was complicated on dreams, but I think the Rambam is even more complicated.
How would he explain, not that I can explain in the first place, but how would he explain at the end of Zos Baracha with regards to the explanation of Hashem's relationship with Moshe? Pun.
Oh, good. So the Rambam Shita is, that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, I don't know if this answers your question, you'll tell me, is qualitatively different, fundamentally different than any other nevuah, of any other Navi. That's Ponim El Ponim.
So that one would be more clear than anything.
In other words, according to the Rambam, the only Navi, there's only one Navi, who communicates with God directly, without a mara, without falling asleep, without a malach, garnished. He talks to Hashem like you and I talk to each other. Who's that? Moshe Rabbeinu. How does every other Navi receive his nevuah? Through a malach. The Ramban disagrees vehemently. And he has many proofs, according to his Shita, that all Nevi'im receive nevuah directly from Almighty God, not through the medium of a malach. But Joe, before you ask me about the end of the Torah, can you please tell me, I beg you, how is it that Yaakov Avinu limps? It just boggles my mind.
It's a very vivid dream.
David, can you take it a little further than that? Because I don't know if you know this, but what you're about to tell us is the Ralbag. You heard of the Ralbag? Do you want to embellish it? I'll read to you the Ralbag if you're interested.
Maybe it's a deeper rendering of the dream. Rokor before from the Yen Seyan, the Pasuk says, the Torah said that Yaakov Avinu had a dream, he was in a dream, and he was mitzvah after the fact that the Shekhinah was there because of where he was. When he woke up and he realized that he was dreaming what was going on, so the Torah is telling us in the Pesukim that it was actually a dream, that he was seeing what he was seeing.
So my question to you is the following. When Yaakov Avinu wakes up and he finds himself limping, what happened? Did the dream itself cause him some physical harm in his sciatic nerve or whatever it is? Or
he actually reached a deeper level of Nevuah. He was on a deeper level of Nevuah. He had reached on a drink or some, I think some of his songs say that that the dust that was there reached the
Kisei HaKavod. So I don't know. This is like Rechokumi Altu, I can't. But let me read to you. Let me read to you the Ralbag.
How does the Ralbag understand the case in Vayetze when it says that Yaakov was in a Chaloyim?
Okay.
Tell us he was in a
Chaloyim. Right. I mean, that's Ramban's point. But according to the Ramban, you can't see a malach unless you're in a nevuah situation or a chalom situation. Says the Ralbag, Eichi Tachein, okay, he asks the question that he are Yitzoleh al Recho Behekitz. He says, Nire, Anachnu Nire, Hispoil Klei HaNefesh Me HaDimyonim Sheyia LoAdam B'Yesh Shino. This is 1,000 years before Freud. He says, we see the impact on the klei nefesh, meaning the powers of the soul, maybe what we call the psyche, mehadimyonim, as a result of the power of imagination. So the imagination has a tremendous power on the soul. Sheyia lo'odem b'eis hasheno. Because when a person's asleep, so his physical components or senses are, what word am I looking for? Are subdued. And what becomes very sharp now? What replaces the physical senses? The klei nefesh, the powers of the soul. The efshar, kishara, when Yaakov sees in a dream, Shenika kaf yerecho bechalom yishar mizeh roshem. It has such an impact on the klei nefesh b'makom ahu ve'efshar Shematza atzmat soleil yerechom kasher hekitz. I don't know, Rabosa. I'm not sure what the Ralbag is saying here, but I think he's making an attempt. Again, Yudi, not based on any, you know, sophisticated Kabbalistic understanding of Yaakov Avinu's Madrega and his Nevuah, simply on a psychological level. I don't know. Or maybe what the Ralbag means is that Yaakov Avinu made a move in his dream while he was battling with the so-called Malach, the Sarah Shalesa, and that move caused him some harm that he had to, that he could no longer, I don't know. It's just amazing to me. Alright, can we go another few minutes?
One question.
Yeah, Shimi.
But the Akeda, when he's told not to kill Yitzchak, that's a dream? That 2 seconds?
It's an excellent question. I didn't think about this. To the best of my knowledge, the Rambam doesn't mention the Akedah, but I'll have to get back to you on that. The Rambam has 3 chapters in the Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Beis, Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, Mem Gimel, which he dedicates to all these parshios where there's an encounter between a human being and a Malach. Let me see. I don't remember that he mentions the Akedah. Alright then? I'll get back to you on that. Let me just wrap it up a little bit here. Says Ramban, Ube'emes, ki kol mochem shehuzkar b'kosav riyas malach, o dibur malach, hu b'maral chalom. The Ramban, is what we call moda mimiksas, agrees, partially, to the Rambam. And he says, that it's impossible, ki argeshim, the human sense perception, lo yasigu malachim, could not perceive angels. In that sense, he agrees that angels are on a different sphere, a different plane, a different realm of reality. Avalo maras hanavua. But you can hear an angel and not be a Navi and not experience nevuah. Ki amasig liros malach o diburo einenu Navi. It's not necessarily so that an individual who perceives a Malach is a Navi. Ain't a Dover Kamosha Gozar Rav. It's not true, as the Rambam saw it, that any communication with a Malach is through Nevuah. And any Nevuah, except for Moshe Rabbeinu, is through a Malach. That's not true. And then the Ramban has a long discussion about Daniel. We don't have time to go through it. You'll have to decide if you want to pick this up again next time. When we go on to Parshas, what's next? Chai Sarah. Because it seems to me that there may be a machlokas here between the Rambam and the Ramban about what the status of Daniel is. The Ramban insists that Daniel was not a Malach. I'm sorry, was not a Navi. But the Navi, I mean, it's actually in Ksuvim, and that's the Ramban's proof that Daniel was not a Navi, otherwise he wouldn't have been placed in Ksuvim. But be that as it may, the Psukim testify that Daniel had a very good chum, a good buddy, who was a Malach. Anybody know his name? Gavriel. Correct. And he constantly communicates with Gavriel. And he's awake. So you see that you can communicate with a Malach and you don't have to be a Navi. This equation of the Rambam between communication with a Malach and a Navi, which goes in both directions. Number one, there's no communication with a Malach unless it's through Nevuah. Number two, there's no Nevuah unless there's a communication of that Nevuah through a Malach. The Rambam says it's just not true. I mean, I'll just let yeah, what? I'll just let you go with one thought. The Rambam wants to know about Hagar. So, How did Hagar hear the voice of a Malach? She was not a Nevi'ah. We have seven Nevi'ahs, the Gemara Megillah says. Hagar is not one of them. I once heard a shiur from somebody. Forget it. I mean, I don't want to get into it. I got very upset what he said about Hagar. Anyway, Hagar was not a Nevi'ah. Trust me on that. But she saw a Malach. She heard a Malach. So the Rambam says that she didn't hear the Malach. She heard a Baskel. So I want you to digest that one. I mean, Hagar heard a Baskel. You see, Bilam is communicating with a Malach. That's okay. Because the Rambam would tell you that that's Nevuah. And Bilam was a Navi. I mean, God knows why Bilam was a Navi, but he had some sort of Nevuah. The Ramban, on the other hand, claims that Bilam never had Nevuah. He had something called Machzeh Shakai. That's not Nevuah. But the Rambam holds that any communication with a Malach is classical, stereotypal Nevuah. So Bilam has a Navi. Nu, what are you going to do with Hagar? So Lot maybe was a Navi and he saw Malachim in a Nevuah. I don't know. The Ramban concedes that that's a possibility. But Hagar is not a Nevi'ah. So the Rambam has to come up with a Baskel. Is there any indication in the story of Hagar and the Malach that she heard a Baskel? The last time I met a Baskel was a story in the Gemara about Metzia called Taner Be'Shalach Noi, you know, with Rabbi Lezer. Yeah, Baskel in the Torah, that's a little bit... But I don't want anyone walking out of here thinking that they can take a parsha in the Torah according to the Rambam and say it never happened. That's not what the Rambam is saying. And I get very excited about this because some... Whatever, I don't want to say it out loud because he happens to be a friend of mine. But he published this article that the Mabul never happened, you know. It's just an allegory. That is pure apikursis. But what the Rambam is saying, that some of the stories that are presented by the Torah are Nevuah. And those are defined in a very specific way as Nevuah. Whether or not things that happened and were shown to the Navi had their parallel in the real world, as the Ramban says, they in and out, and out and in, I don't know. Maybe in the Rambam Shita, you take the Nevuah as one fell swoop, one entity from beginning to end, and it's all Nevuah. I don't know. This I can't tell you. The Rambam is not clear. But one thing is clear. When the Rambam says that these events took place in the mind of the Navi, he's speaking about Nevuah. When you talk about Nevuah, Nevuah is a vision, which according to the Rambam, Pshita comes through a Malach. He's the medium to bring the word of God to the Navi, except for Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Ramban disagrees. Mechatesi says the Ramban, there's a difference between Moshe and all the other Nevi'im. Moshe sees with clarity, Espaklaria Me'ira. The other Nevi'im, Espaklaria She'ena Me'ira. Different panes, you know, the window panes, makes it a little bit more obscure. But every Navi receives his Nevuah directly from Hashem. And not only that, even someone who's not a Navi, according to the Ramban, can perceive, hear the voice of a Malach, and see a Malach. But only in circumscribed cases. And here the Ramban says, whenever the Torah identifies the Malach as an Ish, as a Noshim, it's a whole different category, a whole different quality of a Malach. That's a Malach that somehow enters into this world, even though he's a Malach. And therefore, we can perceive him, we can hear him, in physical reality, says the Ramban, without Nevuah, without a dream, even if we're not Nevi'im, because he appears in this world as an Ish. When the Ramban is pressed here to explain how a Malach could come into this world as an Ish, so the Ramban says, this is the last line in this long Ramban, we did about maybe half of this Ramban, but his last line is that, if I could find it, he says, I've already told you more than I can really share with you. I've revealed to you more than I have rights to reveal to you. And I can't tell you more than this. So the Ramban concludes this whole discussion. He says, I'm a b'mokha v'sher yazkir malokha v'shem anoshim ke'inyin ha'parsha zos, meaning at the beginning of Vayera, it says anoshim u'b'parsha's lot v'chein by Yaakov Avinu v'yovek ish imo ish v'yim tse'eyu ish al das rabu seinu hu kvod nivra b'malokhim. It's a whole new entity. Yikare etzal yodim malbush. Yodim means the mystics. So how many of us are mystics here in the room? None of us. So we don't know what Malbush is. But as a result of this Malbush, HaMalach Yusag can be perceived li'enei basar, by human flesh, b'zakei anefashos, v'lo uchal lefarish. But I can't go into detail. Ah! Would it have been nice if the Ramban would have told us a little more detail about this concept called a Malbush. So the next time you and I are driving our bikes through Toronto on a freezing cold night and we see a Malach, we'll be able to identify that Malach. Alright, we'll stop here. Again, a great shukr to everyone for coming, especially to Yudi for hosting us. And you can email all your questions to the Malachim.